for the nation of Israel who lived in uncertainty and turmoil and all the different things of the day.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on December 11, 2024, and is titled, The Gift. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
To be consoled by God Himself with the appearance of Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel. This devout man whom the Holy Spirit came upon. See, the Holy Spirit had not been given. The Holy Spirit rested. The Holy Spirit dwelt with certain guys, whether it be a major, minor prophet, whether it be Simeon, different ones the Holy Spirit would speak. It wasn't until Pentecost that the Holy Spirit was given for all mankind to now enter into the Holy of Holies and now to have the kingdom of God enter into us that we might see and we might realize, no different than what he told Nicodemus in chapter 3 of Matthew, that chapter 3 of John, yeah. And he says, you know, Nicodemus, lest a man be born again, he will not see, nor will he enter the kingdom of God. You have to see, but you got to be born again. It's a spiritual rebirth. So Simeon was waiting, seeking Messiah. Do you know who finds Jesus? Not people who run around expecting to be found where he's not at. People who seek the Lord. You know where a good place to find Jesus? You know, we always want to give people a Bible after we say they're saved. The Bible actually says God desires for all men to come to a knowledge of the truth and then be saved. We should give everybody a Bible ahead of time. Great place to find Jesus. Great place to have Jesus revealed is in the Bible. We told everybody it was in church on a certain day of the week. That might not be completely true. This Simeon, he is waiting on the Lord. He's waiting on the Lord. And watch what happens. The Holy Spirit is upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now I want you to just think for yourself, to not only right now at this moment, but the rest of this week. How about the rest of this month? Every time you believe God has revealed something to you by the Holy Spirit, write it down. Don't tell anybody else about it. Don't run around flapping your yap because you think God's give you some big revelation. Write it down so that you'll know that God is revealing things to you. That's it. Because there's a pile of you who can't recall the last time God revealed something to you significant enough that you would write it down. Y'all are pretty peaceful out there. But honestly, we've waited on the guy at the front to tell us what's revealed and blah, 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 blah. I mean, for crying out loud, we've been given a gift who will teach us all things and remind us of everything that Jesus said. We've been given a gift of an open heaven. We've been given a gift of the very Spirit of Jesus who raised him from the dead, whom the Bible says we need no man to be our teacher because he will do it. He'll reveal it. Him. He was with Simeon. And he told Simeon, hey, you're not going to die till you've seen the Christ. Do you know what good news that is? What do you think would happen across the globe as we try to evangelize the world? And maybe this is how God's going to instigate this awakening that's happening here in America. What if he just started kind of waking people up in the middle of the night like it does me, whether it's to go turn the heater on in your horse trailer or to tell you that you need to look at Luke 2? What if he started meeting with people that wasn't born again yet and said, hey, before you die, you're going to see Jesus? I wonder what they'd get up and be thinking with their eggs and sausage of the morning. Hey, before you die, you're going to see him. It might start people looking for him. What would happen if we started looking for him? We'd find him. It's exactly what happens when you look for him. You find him. And he says, you're not going to see death. So he came to the temple. He came by the Holy Spirit. I would love to have an accurate count, but I'm afraid some Christian people might lie to you about this. But I wonder how many people attend a synagogue or a temple of some kind on a weekly basis because the Holy Spirit told them to go there. And I wonder how many attend a temple or a synagogue someplace in America on a regular basis because grandma did. Or this is what we do as Christians. Do you know what you do as a Christian? You believe. That's it. You believe. That's what Christianity is all about. When you believe, you are blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit to the full. And from that point on, God will begin to reveal things to you, speak things to you, direct your steps. And if that's to a synagogue or a temple at any given time, on any given day, praise the Lord, because that is a Spirit-led life, not a religious-led life. And I think we need to get a hold of that. He says right here, he went because of the Holy Spirit. So when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, I want you to think about this. This man been standing there now, waiting on the Lord. I don't know where you were standing when you were waiting on the Lord. I don't know where you were sitting when you called on the Lord. But if you did, you had a chance to see him. And if you hadn't seen him, it's because you haven't waited and sought and looked. In order to hold a baby, you got to open your arms. And Simeon was standing there with arms open. And they put a little baby in his arms. This little family, there's, you know, one little duckling. They didn't barely had the clothes on their back, nothing significant about any of them. They're just doing what they're supposed to do, and they walk in and they hand this baby over to this guy whom the Holy Spirit is upon. Listen to this. For everybody in this room that's spirit filled, this will get you right where you sit. These aren't Simeon's words. These are my words. These are your words. This is like a little kid at Christmas waiting on Hot Wheels. He was waiting for the gift. And he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people. No excuse. There is no excuse for a person to go through life and not see Jesus. No excuse. For he has done this before the face of all the people, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. A light to the Gentiles. Us. A people not belonging to God. A people separated from the beginning. A people who had no part. And he became a light that we would see what many of the Jews, the glory of Israel, still is yet to see. We're not just waiting for peace on the Gaza Strip. We're waiting for the revealing of Jesus. But I think they're waiting on a Simeon to stand at their doorpost of their homes and their households. That's why the Passover is so, so important. I don't even know how to sell it. I just stand around and stomp it and tell it. But it's so important because just like the road to Emmaus, Jesus is revealed in the breaking of the bread, that their hearts were burning inside of them because the word was being spoken. And Jesus revealed himself as a stranger walking down the road, and all of a sudden in the breaking of the bread, their eyes were open and he disappeared from their sight, and every man knew that Jesus had risen from the grave and he was the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when we come back to the fulfilled Passover, that's when we find the revealing of Jesus in the shedding of the blood and the breaking of the bread. At the appropriate time. And when all Israel someday realizes it's not about bitter herbs, it's not about lamb bones, it's about the crucifixion cup, and it's about the bread that was broken. And on the day that they sat in their own households, where the deviants came into their own households on October 7th, they came into their households and they pillaged their households. They were no longer protected. The blood was no longer over the homes. And if somebody could just show up and tell them, hey, it's Christmas. Jesus is alive. Let's have communion. Let's talk about the Passover. Let's talk about the fulfilled Passover. Jesus, the Passover lamb. That they too would stand like Simeon, who'd been waiting on Messiah. And all of a sudden, thank you, Lord, for my eyes have seen. Until you can say that for yourself, you don't know squat. Don't tell me about your trip to heaven. Don't tell me about your membership. Don't tell me about your giving. Until this, my eyes have seen your salvation. Thank you, Jesus. When Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, the sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. It's all in the revealing, but it's because of the gift. Not just the gift of a baby that was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, and the stories we tell and the songs that we sing, the nativity scenes and all the stuff. Yes, a child was born, and it wasn't on the 25th of December, and it doesn't matter. The day is absolutely irrelevant to the whole story. The day is irrelevant to the whole story. Some guy picked the day, but Jesus told the story. For us. And he was a gift. But not just so that you could go to heaven. He gave you a gift so you could be reconciled to God. You see, Jesus is the creator. The Bible says that through him, and for him, all things were created. So he makes this magnificent creation that has no regard for the owner. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? We don't even know how we got here. We're just here and we're living it up. And in order to give everybody sight to see what's really going on, to see who's really doing this, to see how this really happens, he sent his son. Because before you can receive the holiness of God, you have to be cleansed of all unrighteousness. Religion can kind of try to train you in that, but it's an impossible endeavor. Robin's been married to the same guy for 43 years, and she's been helping him quite a bit for 43 years, and not done yet, are you, honey? Still got some stuff on your list. We got some fixing to do. Yeah, the training by men or women will not do this. You have to receive the perfection and holiness of God. And that is represented in the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead that has now given life to your mortal body. How in the world could I ever get perfect enough to receive the perfection of God to live in me, dwell in me, the same Spirit that was with Simeon? How in the world can I do this? I can't go to church enough. I can't sing enough songs. I can't pray enough. I can't do anything enough to make this happen. I have to be forgiven. It's my only hope for purification. You see, after the time of purification, we're now going to circumcise. I have to be purified before I can be circumcised. That means I have to be justified before I can be sanctified. Now, those are some pretty fancy words for a cow sale auctioneer. What this really means is somebody's going to have to wipe my slate clean so that God can take over my life. That's it. Only by the blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Only through the sacrifice of Jesus, this little baby that came to the earth to live as a man in an imperfect world and be absolutely perfect in order to be that one-time sacrifice that was never going to happen again. He'll never hang on a stick. He'll never ride on a jackass ever again. One time. For all of us. That's a gift. Not so that I can be whisked out of here, but so I can see while I'm here. You see, if I can't see Jesus now, how in the world will I expect to see him later? Only by the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11, it talks about earthly fathers giving good gifts. What a perfect time to talk about that. This time of year, everybody's scrambling around trying to figure out what to get everybody, blah, 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 blah. The gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, who asked for a loaf of bread and we're going to give him a rock? Or give him a snake? Or a scorpion? So he said, if you earthly fathers who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give you of the Holy Spirit? A gift. But that's just not it. That's not all of it. Here's what happens then after. Now I've been given the gift of a sacrifice that cleans up my sin. I've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit who's now made me a new creation. I'm now circumcised of the heart and marked as a child of God. So that means I've also been gifted now with everything necessary for life and godliness. I've been given the opportunity and the blessing, the gift of understanding the Word. I now live in harmony with the author of this Word. Could you trust that and believe that, or are you going to have to rest your life just have somebody else do it for you? I mean, really, what we've done in church about making people dependent on the guy at the front and the books and the studies and the blah, 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 blah. Your dependency on church is because of their dependency on you to survive. Oh, that came out good. The institution needs you to be dependent because they can't survive without you. Let me tell you something. You can survive without them. You may want to. You may not want to. You may enjoy all of it. You may like this. I kind of like this way of doing things. It's good with me. But this ain't about me telling you people how to live and what to believe. No, this me just up here rattling around here so God can kind of touch your heart and kind of spur you on, draw you in a little bit, maybe get you doing your own thing. That's a gift. This word is a gift. This word, God breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, training in righteousness, training up the people of God for the works of God. This book, best book ever written on marriage, best book ever written on raising kids, best book ever written on running a business, best book ever written on team roping. This book, it's a gift. The Lord's really doing a good work in here tonight. And I think on the other side of that camera, there's some people hearing some things tonight that, why wouldn't you accept the gifts? We got the gift of a Savior. We got the gift of the Spirit. We got the gift of the Word. Do you know what results out of that? The gift of forgiveness. For all of us, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you live long enough, you're going to need to be forgiven again. Forgiveness, what a gift. We're reconciled. I'll go back to the reconciliation thing in a second. What about the gift of peace? You know, whenever we find the peace of God that transcends all understanding, we'll begin to live in health. Your worry, your fret, it's hard on your health. You see, your mind is ground zero for all of it, so if you'll just exasperate your brain every day worrying about a bunch of junk you can't do nothing about, or always fussing or fixing or doing or worrying and scared and blah, blah, pick a spot. That phrase, ignorance is bliss, that is for real. I am a happy camper. But peace, it's like in here tonight. Listen to this. There's nothing going on. It's just God manifest with his people. He's not mad at you about Christmas. No, he just wants you to find him. Look for the right stuff. Look for him. Purpose. That's the greatest gift that a guy like me could receive, is a reason to get up in the morning. I am not looking for a day to get off the bus. I mean, I told somebody in here tonight, I got plans for when I'm 110. I'll still be terrorizing people. Don't you worry about it. Shoot, I may start a whole new career by then. Who knows? But really, do you find purpose in what you do? I'll give you a quick little example. We kept it a secret around here for a lot of reasons, but one was I signed 42 pieces of paper that said I wouldn't say anything. We went first week in July. I went to Darby, Montana, and we filmed an episode of Yellowstone. Now, Yellowstone has some things going on that your children don't need to be around. And your husband don't need to be around if he ain't house broke. I mean, it gets a little on the edge. Now, I was born in the night, and it wasn't last night, so I'm okay. But we got asked, Robin, the day I got the call, and, first thing is, you think, this is pretty cool. And they wanted me to do it, and I said, okay. A couple of guys that were important to me wanted me to be there, and I said, that's fine. I'll go. Well, a couple of things. One, Robin, she said, oh, gosh, when this comes out, all them church people, now they're fixing to tear you up.
Well, that concludes our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.